Father, we thank you again for the privilege that we've had to worship you. Lord, as Steve shared in the beginning, Lord, we have no restrictions. We can worship you, Lord, as we have the liberty to do so, Lord. There's no government that holds us back. Lord, there's no laws against worshiping you. Lord, there's no enemies present with us that would keep us and hinder us from worshiping you as you deserve to be worshiped. Lord, we thank you for the privilege, Father. Lord, and with the privilege comes the responsibility of fulfilling that privilege. And Lord, we just thank you today for the wonder and the grace that we have to meet together around the throne of God, that you have delighted to meet with us this morning, that God has come down again to meet and to tabernacle with his people. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you do dwell in each one of us, Lord. It's Christ in us. We thank you for that, Lord. But as we gather together as your corporate body, Lord, your desire to show yourself, Lord, and to delight yourself with your people, Lord, you desire to sing with your people. Lord, you desire to just have your way with your people. Lord, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, that you desire to sing with us and sing over us and delight in us. Lord, we have this privilege this morning and have had this privilege this morning of worshiping you. Oh, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love for us, Lord, that you haven't left us orphans, but you sent God the Holy Spirit to dwell amongst us and to dwell within us. Lord, we thank you for these great privileges that, Lord, we will be experiencing them, Lord, and discovering truths in them throughout all eternity. Lord, we thank you and praise you. Father, we, Lord, just ask that you'd have your way as we look into the Scriptures today. Father, that you'd have your way in our midst with each and every heart. Lord, I ask that you would just guide my mind and my heart, my tongue, Lord, so I would be used according to your will, Father. And we just all humble ourselves before you and ask you to speak to us for your own glory's sake, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Isn't it amazing what the Scriptures said, what Jesus said that was quoted from Luke 24? Ought not Christ to have suffered? What a statement, isn't it? Christ being the Messiah. What do you think that meant to the Jews that heard that? Should not your Messiah, the one you have hoped for deliverance, you had hoped for deliverance to be set free from all tyrannies as they viewed it, the Roman soldiers, set free, isn't it right and correct and just that he should suffer? Because they'd never had viewed him that way, though he was always the suffering Savior, the suffering Messiah. They had never viewed him that way. Why should God suffer? And then yet Jesus said, ought not Christ to have suffered? Let me say this. There is no one, there's no human being, no angel in heaven, no demon below who has the right to say that. Ought not Christ to have suffered? I have no right to say, hey, you ought to suffer for me. You have no right to say, God, you should suffer for me. But Jesus has the right to say it. Ought not Christ to have suffered and to have risen again for this purpose, that he could redeem for himself a people unto himself, that his glory could fill the human race yet again, and that he could pour out his Spirit. That's the only way he can do it, is by pouring out his Spirit. You know, what a privilege for us. Ought not Christ to have suffered? None of us asked him to do it. None of us has deserved it. It is grace. We just humble ourselves before, ought not Christ to have suffered and have gone to glory for us? This morning, what's on my heart, I was kind of studying earlier in the week, continuing on in Ephesians 6, just kind of not waiting, but anticipating the time when we'd get through it. Not that it hasn't been good, but I'm just waiting to get through it too at the same time. But as I was on Wednesday, the Lord kind of diverted me to a different subject. And throughout the week, I've had confirmation of this very subject. And it has to do with the Holy Spirit. And I guess just throughout the week, I've been having confirmation of this. And when I was challenged within a couple weeks of when I was saved, I remember a man preaching. I went to this service and this guy preached, and his comment was this. He was kind of doing an altar call. He was kind of working his way up to an altar call, I suppose. I don't know. I'm guessing. I didn't know anything. I don't know much more now. But he he made this statement. Does anybody want more of Jesus? Is anybody hungry for Jesus? And I thought, duh. You know, if I don't, there's something wrong with me. Of course, I didn't think that way 40 years ago. It was just like, you bet, I'm in. I want more of Jesus. And that was the invitation. Do you want more of Jesus? And he prayed about the Holy Spirit, you know, having more of the Holy Spirit, being baptized, being filled with the Spirit. That's what his prayer was about. That's what he was going for. I didn't have a clue what he was talking about in the sense about a baptism of the Spirit or whatever. All I knew is that he said, do you want more of Jesus? Are you hungry for Jesus? And if I am, then God's working in my life. And if I don't hunger for more of Jesus, then God needs to work in my life. Isn't that right? And so that's kind of the thought here. Who wants more of Jesus? Do you want more of Jesus? Or do you have enough? You know, you can make it now through the rest of your life without any more of Jesus. You've had enough of Jesus. I don't need more of Him. I know everything there is to know about Him. I'm completely satisfied in my inner man. I always walk in the fullness of the Spirit, always reveling and just fellowshipping with God in the fullness of the Spirit. I'm such an overcomer. Or do you need or do you want more of Jesus? Because that's what the Holy Ghost comes to do, is to give us Jesus. That's what His purpose is to glorify Jesus, that second person of the Trinity. And so I want us to go to a story, and I kind of came upon this story as you're reading through the Bible. And I'll just tell you a little bit about it before we go there. It's the story of a father who has an only daughter. And you might be thinking, okay, where's he going? I bet he's going to Jephthah. No, he's not. I'm not going there. But it's about a story about a father who has one daughter. He had many sons, and he's got one daughter, and it's the child of his old age. If I read 1 Chronicles chapter 2 and about around verse 46 or something, we'll read the lineage and the descendants of Caleb, and he's got all these sons, and all of a sudden it throws out, and then through one of his wives, he's got a daughter. She's got a funny name. It's and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right, but it's Achsah. A-C-H-S-A-H, Achsah. So I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. It means an anklet, you know, an ornament, that special jewel. And you know what? If any fathers in the room know what the relationship is with their daughter, it's kind of special, fathers and daughters, and mothers and daughters too, and fathers and sons too. But there's something about fathers and daughters. And she's the child of his old age. So this is the story. It's the story of this daughter and her father who loves her, but he's got a burning passion, and that is for Israel to succeed, for Israel to be safe, for Israel to live without their enemies always encroaching upon them. And he's so zealous for the house of God that he says, we've got an enemy left. He lives in this city, and whoever takes that city, I will give my daughter as his bride. And so you see, there's a father who's going to give to a particular person a bride. And so you can start seeing the story developing. It goes beyond just what's written in a sense. I take some license when I do it. And I'm asking for maybe forgiveness in the beginning because I might say things that are strong, challenges that are strong. So forgive me. I hope I stay. My desire is to stay within the Spirit and not get into the flesh. Sometimes that veil is pretty thin. So forgive me if we do that. So you're going to turn. It's an interesting story. You can find it. We're going to look at Judges chapter 1. And it's here's another interesting thing about it. It's written about twice in the Bible. This story is repeated in Joshua. Actually, it's first found in Joshua 15. And then it's repeated in Judges chapter 1. And it's I think it's word for word the same. And it's repeated. God saw it that I'm going to repeat this to people. And it's not just the liturgy like he does a lot of times with those things. But this story is repeated. You know, sometimes, you know, Kings, you have Samuel, you have Kings, you have Chronicles, and there's a lot of repetition. But this is Joshua and Judges. It's kind of not a lot of connection necessarily. But here there is this connection that this story is repeated. So God wants us to see this, see something in this story. And so you'll find it in Judges chapter 1. And we'll start reading in verse 11. And it's actually 12, 13, 14, 15 are the verses, but we'll start in verse 11 of Judges chapter 1. So hopefully everybody's there. Judges chapter 1. And from there, he went against the inhabitants of Debir. And the name of Debir before was Kirjath-Sepher. And Caleb said, "He that smiteth Kirjath-Sepher and takes it, to him will I give Aksah, my daughter, to wife, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it, and he gave him Aksah, his daughter, to wife. And it came to pass, when she came to her husband, that she moved her husband to ask of her father a field. And she lighted from off her donkey, and Caleb said unto her, 'What do you want? What do you want, my daughter, my favorite? What do you want?' And so he said, 'What wilt thou?' And she said unto her dad, unto Caleb, 'Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water.' And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the nether springs." And there's so much in this story, and I spent a lot of time just soaking in it and rereading it and looking at it from different angles, and just different thoughts. So there's four things that I pull out here. And so I've got four headings. The first heading is her honesty. She saw a need. Okay? And again, over this all, I should say, it's that we need the Spirit. Okay? We need the Spirit. So my first heading is that she was honest. I mean, she saw there was a need, and she was honest about it. Okay? She received, so secondly, she goes and she receives encouragement from her father to ask for what she needs. Does that sound New Testament-y? she gets encouragement from her father to ask what she needs. The third thing is the request itself, the prayer itself, how she prays, what she prays. And of course, the fourth thing is her success, the answer of her prayer. And again, my desire is that by the Spirit, that we would cry out for God for the things that she cries out, that we would cry out for God for the things that we should cry out for. So again, the first thing that I saw is that she saw clearly and honestly her need. She needed a second blessing. We'll get to it. That's basically what it was. She needed a second blessing. And I'm not saying that in any doctrinal form. I'm just looking at what this said. She needed a second blessing. She needed a further blessing. She needed something more. Nobody, no Christian is done. We need it. And so she saw honestly that she had a need. Let's look at verse 14. "And it came to pass when she came to her husband." Okay, so this woman is a wise woman. And again, the picture of the bride is the picture of the church. She's a wise woman, and she knows she has a need, and she goes to her husband. First, they're just married. In fact, the picture may even be of the transference of Caleb bringing his daughter to Othniel, the one who has won her in victory in battle over their enemies. Again, you can see that the type is rich. And so it might be during this procession that, verse 14, she comes to her husband and she says to her husband, it says, "And she came to him and she moved him to ask of her father a field." Now, she already has a field, but this is a specific field that she's looking for, okay? Something more than what she's already gotten. She's been given an inheritance. She had a dowry. Caleb was a very wealthy man. He was one of the chiefs of Israel. You know that, Caleb. He's a great man. And he was a wealthy man. He owned much land and much spoil. And she has a dowry, and he gave her a land. Okay? So my point is here is that in the midst of her blessing, and that she says, "I still have a need." And so she comes and she moves her husband to go to her father and ask for a field. And then it says, "And she lighted from off her donkey, and Caleb said unto her." So she goes to her father. She sees the need. I need something. You've given me a land, right? You've given me a land, but here's the problem with it, if I can say that there is a problem. In verse 15, she says, it's a south land. Okay, this land that you've given me is in the south. It's dry. It's tough down here. This is the lower end, and it's tough down here. It's a beautiful land, and if we get the right rain and everything goes in my favor and everything works according to the way we want it to work, it's going to be really great. But Father, I know better than that, because I've lived in this life for a little while, and I know that I need a blessing, because this south land is a tough land. It's tough down here, and I need another blessing. I'm going to need something from you, Father. So she sees her problem. She's not deceived like the Laodicean church, who says, I have need of nothing. I have need of nothing. I'm increased with goods. I'm rich. You can see it in Revelation chapter 3. You know, she said, I don't have need of anything. Man, I'm sitting fine. My life's good. Really good. I got saved. Maybe filled with the Spirit. I know the Lord. I know I'm forgiven most of the time. And if I sin, I'm right back in asking and repenting and going to God, and He forgives me. I'm okay. Life's great. You know, life is good. I have a cup of Joe, and life is good. Just, you know, great. And that's not what she's saying. She said, no, there's more here. And she's not like the Laodicean church. Say, hey, I don't need anything now. God, you've blessed me. I've heard the gospel. I go to church. I work in the church. I got a family. I've got a good job. I got retirement. I'm whatever I am. I'm healthy. I'm wise. I'm smart. I'm sitting good. Church says, I don't need anything more. And God says, you fool. You fool. Do you not know that you are miserable, that you are naked, that you are wretched? So be careful about saying, well, I don't need any more. I'm sitting really pretty good. You know, that's deception. We are in need. Every hour I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee. I need You every hour. So this is her. She's really intelligent. The second thing she does, notice this, what she does. She communes first with her husband. Now, this might only apply to married folks, but you notice that first she communed with her husband. She said, hey, can we agree together with this? And I think, again, this is where I'll take license a few places. I think he said, yeah, you know what you're saying is exactly right. I'm a mighty warrior, but I don't know your dad like you know your dad, and I know your dad will give you anything. Bride, don't ask in my name. You go to him directly to your father. You don't need to go through me. You go directly to the Father. You go do that. Does that sound like New Testament? John 16, verses 23 and 24. Let's look there once. So she goes to the Father and she goes directly. John 16, And in that day you shall ask of me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. You go directly to the Father. You ask Him. You've got a good relationship with Him. And again, the New Testament side of it is that the Son, the husband, the bridegroom of the church has made a relationship for us with the Father so that we can go directly to the Father. Didn't He tell us in Matthew 6, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven. You know, give me this day my daily bread. Forgive me today. Like you give me daily bread, forgive me daily. He's our Father. So that's another thing that I see is that she communed with her husband. She went directly to the Father. And then the last thing, if you look in verse 14, I'm back in Judges. Whoops, I pulled my marker out. Okay, in Judges chapter 1. In verse 14, you'll notice one other thing, and we'll go over these verses to pull different things out of them. Verse 14, it said, and as she came unto her father. So again, I see this kind of a wedding train, so to speak, going on this caravan. Caleb going to pass his daughter over and just having passed her over to her new husband, her new, you know, head covering is this man. And he passes over and she communes with him right away. As long as we're together, she said, honey, Othniel, by the way, which means Lion of God. Sound familiar? like the Lion of the Tribe. This guy is the Lion of God. She says to him, Lion, go ask my dad who's wholehearted. He's a lion too. But no, you go ask him direct because I know you have a relationship with him. And so they get together and she says, okay, while we're right here together, her dad's, you can only imagine, fathers who've walked your brides or your daughters down the aisle. This is kind of, he's taken her down the aisle in a sense. And she says, now's the time. I got dad with me. And she slips off her mount, off of her donkey. She slips off and she humbles herself before her dad. The woman should have stayed on there. It's not good for her to be getting on and off an animal. But she humbles herself and gets off the donkey, and she humbles herself, and then she says, Dad, I need something. Okay? So those are the first things I see, that she saw her problem. She saw she had a need. She went and did something about it. She went directly to the Father. She humbled herself before Him. So that's how we come to God. The second set is that she then receives encouragement from Him, because as she did this, as she slips off the donkey, Caleb says to her, what do you want? What wilt thou? And I can only believe that in his voice it wasn't like, what do you want? It was, what can I do for you, dear? What do you want? Just tell me what you want. What do you want, honey? What do you want? And so she said, wow, I got dad's heart. I can go boldly. Doesn't it say in Hebrews 4? Come boldly before the throne of grace that you may receive mercy and help in the time of need. Come boldly. What do you want? There are so many scriptures, and we shouldn't be ashamed. It's funny, Christians are sometimes afraid to ask for prayer or to go to God and ask for prayer. Like He doesn't know we have a need. Again, we got this Laodicean blindness. We don't think God knows that I have this need. And if I mention it, people won't like me enough or something. We shouldn't have to be that way. And so she's just honest, and she comes and he gives her boldness. But what do you want? Ask what you want. Again, now, again, if we come to the new, and Jesus did that, didn't he? It says in Psalms 2, verse 8, the Father said, you ask of me, and I will give you the heathen for your inheritance. But you ask me, I'll do that. But Jesus, ask me, and I'll give you the heathen for your inheritance. I'm glad he asked, aren't you? Or we wouldn't be here. Aren't you glad he asked? And the Father can't refuse him, can't refuse his Son. And in John 17, didn't he say, Father, I will that where I am, there they may be also, that they may behold my glory. Isn't that wonderful? Do you think God will answer his prayer? I think he will. Jesus didn't find it hard to ask. Why do we find it hard to ask? There's an encouragement. Okay, we're okay to ask. If we look in Matthew 21, just again for encouragement to pray in Matthew 21. We'll look at a few verses there. In verse 22, Matthew 21, let's read 21. So I'm in Matthew 21, in verse 21. And Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. In all things, whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Now we know there's other prohibitions there, other encouragements there. We have to ask according to His will. We ask without faith, with faith, not wavering. But James says in chapter 4 and verse 2, you don't have because you haven't asked. And so he says, but ask anything. If it's in my will, I'm going to give it to you. 1 John 5 says, and this is the confidence that you have. This is the boldness that you have. If you ask anything according to my will, it shall be done for you, that my Father may be glorified. That was one of Jesus' prayers. And in John 5 also, 1 John 5. So here's these encouragements that we should come and we should pray. It's a challenge for us. It's a boldness for us. And so that's what she did. She receives encouragement. What do you want? What do you want? Steve quoted earlier from Matthew 7. That was one of the verses I had, which is parallel to Luke 11, which says, he tells us to ask. Ask and go on asking. Knock and go on knocking. Seek and go on seeking. For what father among you would give a son who asks for bread, would he give him a stone? For an egg, would he give him a scorpion? If your son asked you of a fish, would you give him a serpent? Well, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit if you ask of Him? This is the context of this, is asking for the Holy Spirit. Because we see there is a need, but I've got encouragement to come. And so I'll come. And so we come to this third thing, the prayer itself in verse 15. I'm back in Judges again. We'll go back and forth a couple more times. So and I love her prayer. It's so simple and so bold and so gutsy and so effective, you know, because she's asking from somebody who loves her. You know, just God loves us. And so anyway, this is some of the points about the prayer itself in verse 15. And she said unto him, give me a blessing. She didn't beat around the bush, straight in. When you go to prayer, this is the encouragement. When you go to prayer, know what you're going there for and go right in. You know, she didn't kind of beat around the bush and do all. She said, this is it. Give me a blessing. Father, I'm coming to you for this reason. Give me the blessing. Give me a blessing. Give me a blessing. That's what she said. Give me a blessing. And she said unto him, give me a blessing. Why did she think he would do that? Because he gave her a blessing before. That's what she says. And she said to him, give me a blessing, for you have given to me. So she said, give to me, because you've already given to me. We think that God, if he's given to us once, then I'll wait a while before I ask the next time, because I've kind of exhausted my requests. I've exhausted the generosity of God, so I won't come and bother him again. God loves to be bothered. Have you read Luke 18 about the important woman who came again and again and again and wore the judge down? He said, men ought always to pray and go on praying. Wear me out. I want to hear your voice. I want to hear from you. Babies don't have a problem asking again and again and again till maybe they get what they want or close to it. You know, but I mean, this is her boldness. She comes. She said, you have blessed me, Father. You've given me this land, this wonderful land. It's a huge inheritance. Thank you, Father. And I know that you're going to give me more because you've given to me once. And you're going to give to me again. Has God given to you once? He wants to give to you again. Has God given you salvation? He wants to give you more. He wants to give you, you know, the Holy Spirit again and again and again to be being filled with the Holy Ghost. Go to Him and ask. This is what she did. She said, you've given to me before, so give to me again. God set a precedence. Doesn't it say in Romans 8 that if He has given us His Son freely, how much more shall He give us everything else? You know, so do we know our need? Because unless I know my need, I will not ask for the Holy Spirit. I won't ask. If we don't see our need, we won't do it. And man, there is this great need. So she asks Him. She asks Him boldly. She acknowledges His previous generosity. You've been blessed before. Bless me again. I need more. She keeps saying, I need more. So there's just so much in there. So I want to ask, you know, a couple questions here. Well, maybe I'll come back to them. Let's look at the fourth thing, which is her success, which again is in verse 15. The success of her requests. In verse 15 then again, and she said unto him, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water. And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. Was she successful in her request? What does Ephesians 3:20 say? That He will give us above, exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. Elisha asked, Elijah, give me a double portion. You know, if I'm there, give me a double portion of what you had. And so this is what she does. She says, and Caleb gives her springs. He gives her springs. The nether springs, they're on the south end. And the spring is whoever controls that spring. And again, if we look earlier in the request, she says a field. Give me a field. But what she means by that is that I want the land that the spring sits in. You've given me the land that sits between two wonderful springs of water. But I want the land itself that the spring sits on. That's what I want. Because if I've got those, I am set. If I have a continual flowing in my property, it doesn't matter what comes my way. Send the drought you want to send, whatever it is, I've got control. Water was everything. It was much more precious than oil was. They didn't care about oil. They didn't know much what to do with it. But the water was the issue. So she said, give me these fields that have the water in them. So he gives her this nether springs. That's the lower ones, the southernmost one and the northernmost one. So her land is sandwiched between two springs of water. And these waters bubble up. And with them, she can divert it to irrigate her land and produce this wonderful crop. She is a wise woman. This bride is a wise woman. She sees her need, that she cannot make it in this barren land unless I have springs. I love what it says. He gave unto her the upper springs, the heavenly springs. And this is, to me, fellowship with Jesus. This is victory. I need to have fellowship with Christ. I need to be filled with the Spirit that I can fellowship with Him, have fellowship with Him. And if I have fellowship with Him, I can enjoy these lower springs. I need the Spirit down here in the lower end so I know how to communicate with men. I know how to resist sin. I know how to be an overcomer, how to love people, how to win souls, how to pray, how to win my family. I need to know these things. So I need these lower springs that bring me on the horizontal earthly level. But I need those heavenly springs. They come first. So I need the heavenly springs. Now, let me just say this. Are you saved? And I'm not going to necessarily talk biblically out here. But are you saved enough? You know, do you need more? You know, fathers, let me ask you. Has God blessed you and given you children? What good are they if they go to hell? Tell me that. God's blessed you. Is it enough? Or do you want them to have the Holy Spirit? Do you need one God to pour His life out on them? Fathers, what good are they? And this isn't right. You know what I mean. They're an ache in our hearts until we see them burning for Jesus, burning on fire. God's blessed you. But she said, yeah, you've blessed me, but I need another blessing. And she goes to Him and she says, I need another blessing. You know, are you saved? Okay. But are you drinking? Am I drinking? Am I filled with the Spirit? Have I got enough of God that I don't need any more? How am I going to overcome self unless I'm filled again with the Spirit? You know, are you burning for Jesus? You might tell me, yeah, I'm saved. I've given my life to Jesus. Okay. What does it look like? Do I see you burning for Jesus? Do you see me burning for Jesus? Am I passionate about the things of God? Is my outward life becoming more and more conformed to the image of Christ? Am I serving His church on earth? Am I hitting the meetings? Am I praying? Am I spending time with Christ? Am I interceding for my family and for the families of the church? Again, what good, in one sense, are these things if they're barren? And she saw the issues. She wasn't a Laodicean Christian who thinks, you know what? I'm just going to take care of myself right now. I'm going to continue to feather my nest here a little bit. I'm just going to back off. She gave herself and she went to her Father and she humbled herself before Him. She saw her need and she did something. Again, what good are the first blessings if we don't have all of God? But, you know, and has God given you a job? Well, I need the Spirit of God to show me how to run this job, how to run this place, how to work for this man. I need to know how to use my money correctly. I need to know these things. Has He given you a wife? Well, you need God to tell you, how do I minister to my wife? How do I do it correctly so she knows I love her and I can lead her into the things of God and not lead her into debt? Every husband leads their women into debt. You know, lead them into the things of God. I need God to show me how to do that, to be the husband I should be. Wives, God's given you a husband. What are you doing with him? Are you praying for him to be filled with the Spirit? Are you doing all you can do that the Spirit of God breathes within his bones and he's a man filled with the Holy Spirit? Or is he encumbered with all kinds of things? Help him. You know, so yeah, okay, God's blessed us. And, you know, maybe you're not married. Maybe you're single and maybe you're a young person and God's given you a brain. But what are you going to do with the brain? You know, He's given you a good body. What are you going to do with the body? I need the Spirit that God would lead me through this life for His glory. So we need the Spirit again and again. I wrote down a number of different areas of our lives, but in every place we need the springs. God's given us a church. But let me tell you, we need the Spirit. We need the Spirit in a mighty way to change people's lives, to see dead men live, to see people change. Don't you want to see people changed? Maybe one of them, I want to see me changed, you know. But we need the Spirit for this to happen. We cannot be content on yesterday's manna. We cannot be content. And this great woman, you know, that she went and said, "Oh, Father, you've blessed me in the past, but bless me again. I want springs. I want them now." And he didn't say, "Okay, you just wait a while." He said, "Yeah, go take them." And she went away fulfilled. Just a little story, four verses, repeated for us twice. And that's really the message of the story. What we've looked at is just the message of the story. So she's got this great, great, wonderful success. And that she would have power to walk in all, that we would have power to walk in all that we need. And I think it's there for us just to be encouraged. So I know this is a challenge and it's a heavy challenge, but you know, days go on. You know, and they go on, and pretty soon we're a year older and we're 5 years older, and things haven't gone on. They've stayed as they have been. You know, I'm going to really pray for my children next week. You're not. You know, I'm going to, you know, whatever it is, and we put these things off, but you know, we need the Spirit. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. And, you know, it's kind of a heavy, you know, challenge in this sense, but it isn't. It's just, it's God's goodness to us. You know, if you and I could live the Christian life apart from the fullness of the Spirit, Jesus wouldn't have had to have died. He wouldn't have to die. Could have just forgiven our sins, and Spirit could have stayed in heaven, and well, he could have been there, and we're just set. We just don't need any more inflowing. We don't need to be drinking of the Spirit anymore. If we don't need the Spirit, you know, to learn how to forgive and how to love and how to forget the past and how to move forward with courage and how to make peace with our spouses and live a holy life, a godly family, and to see our children moving on in the things of God and being filled with the Spirit and moving on with those things, we need the Spirit for those things. We just do. And so we should never cease from asking from those things. And we need it in the church. We need it for this community. We need it for the people that we pray for. We need this. These are just, you know, I suppose obvious things. But, you know, we need it. We need the Spirit. So that's my challenge for us. I think, you know what, we're just going to wait a bit. And if you want to respond to the challenge or pray out, or Steve, if the Lord said something to you on how we should close, not to put you on the spot, but I mean, I'm open. You know, we need the Spirit. And it's just, you know, we hear a lot of sermons and some good ones. And I'm not saying this one's a good one or whatever, but, you know, we need the Spirit. We really do. The church needs the Spirit. And that we would be all that God wants us to be. So, you know, if somebody wants to be prayed for, you know, you can come up. If you just want to, you know, just take some time just to seek the Lord and talk to Him. And then maybe we can close with a hymn after that. So again, if somebody wants prayer, let us know. But let's pray. Just take some time to pray.